This is Mountain News and World Report, WMMT's weekly sojourn into life in Central Appalachia.
I've got a view right out my back door of rolling hills and a big blue mountain. The Diamond Stream flows right along there. And that's where I throw my dreams and watch them float down.
Welcome to Mountain News and World Report. I'm your host for this edition, Kelly Haywood. It's a common experience when someone from Appalachia leaves the mountains that they feel displaced, never quite home, despite how long we may have been in any other location. A mountaineer's connection to the land is undeniable and very much a part of what keeps people in Coalfields, Appalachia, even as opportunity for gainful employment has decreased. WMMT has made a special effort to report on how our communities are coping, rebuilding, and in some cases, thriving, in spite of the many obstacles there are to overcome. Making Connections News is our multimedia project dedicated to highlighting the unique strides being made by individuals, communities, and organizations toward creating livable and economically diverse cities and towns throughout our region. Our first story is about a man with a strong vision and love for his neighbor. Coupled with an entrepreneurial spirit, he has turned his connection to the land into an income. Recently, Malcolm and Jennifer Wilson of the Humans of Central Appalachia Project met with Doc Frazier, both at the Letcher County Farmers Market and his new store in Ermine, Kentucky, Farmhouse General Store, as a feature for the project. The following excerpts from their interviews.
Of course, we're selling the eggs in here at the store, lots of them. When Jerry and I first got married, that's my wife, we've been married 44 years in March, we bought a little grocery store that my grandfather had had and then other family members had had, and I wound up buying that, ran it for several years, and I loved it. Over the years, I've had a music store and different kinds of businesses and things that I've been involved in. I'm so excited. I'm 165 years old, and so it takes a lot to excite me. But Doc, D-O-C-K, Frazier, I live on the head of Kingdom Come Creek, which is about 7 miles outside of Whitesburg. I'm really excited. The produce and being involved in raising produce and so forth kind of inspired this. But people want things year-round, and they want things before our traditional seasons are and that kind of stuff. And I just love this kind of environment. I just like hanging out with people, meeting people, and talking to folks.
I was raised on Cowan Creek. And, of course, most of our families were still, even though the coal mines were, that industry was pretty big at the time. But still, most of our folks were agricultural. And so my brother and I, we grew up being my dad's farmhands. And we raised, you know, subsistence gardening, but corn and beans and potatoes and tomatoes and all those kinds of things. So we grew up in that kind of an environment. And I was the oldest of five kids, and so I went right to work after high school. My junior and senior year in high school, we had the distributive education program. But we actually worked. And my junior and senior year in high school, I worked 40 hours a week for Foodtown Supermarket and went to school. Did instill a good work ethic. Our teacher, Bennett Welch, was a really good teacher. We didn't just learn, you know, just to have opportunity to work and earn some money, but we actually got opportunities to grow in marketing understandings. So we actually got some really good practical experience, and that was a blessing to me early in my life. I've always sold. Our family provided, you know, there were beans and corn and potatoes and all, and, you know, sweet potatoes. We grew all that stuff. I went as an 18-year-old to Cincinnati, Ohio, and got my first job in a plastic factory down there. And that was a tremendous culture shock for me. And I realized after a few years how special, and I think a lot of people might have done this, you know, we're growing up and we just can't wait. We're going to get out of here and we're going to go somewhere and do some big thing. And then I really realized how special this area is and how special our culture is and our people and that sort of thing. And I guess that's where I first became aware of that. I live in a special place. Keno Come is a special place. When the earliest settlers began to settle in this area in the early 1800s, my family was some of those families that settled there. And I live on the same land that was first being settled in the early 1800s. Now, my great-grandfather had this particular piece of land, but I live on a 190-acre farm over there on the same land that he originally began to build and develop and make a farm out of. So our own stories, there's something really good to be shared with other people about our own stories, and so many stories about how neighbors helped neighbors, and if you were building a barn, they'd have a barn building, right, and everybody'd come around, you know, and they'd have a square dance on Saturday night and everybody have fun together. And that was the kind of environment my grandmother grew up in, and so she kind of passed a lot of that on to us as grandkids in the way of her stories. And I've always grown a little bit. My aunt, who lived there for 50 years on the same piece of land with the same man for 50 years, and they knew that I would be the one who come there and be the steward of that place when she would go. She told me, you know, the value of this land and what it had done for everyone that had come before. And she said, honey, it'll do that for you. But when I came there, my obsession was the church and trying to grow into the pastoral position, and I was doing seminary classes and all that kind of stuff. But in the past couple of years, I sort of reintroduced myself to this land. You can spend a lifetime of trying to help make changes and bring changes that would be beneficial for the area and that kind of thing, and maybe not feel like you got that far. And I did a lot of that, and my heart was sincere, but I realized that, from my perspective anyway, that if I really wanted to make a difference for these people, the first thing I needed to do was lead them to a relationship with Christ. You know, we're losing our coal industry, and it's really the only industry we've ever had. That's really impacting. Fact is, I'll tell you how it's impacting. Not many years ago, I think we had close to 27,000 people, upward of 26,000 people. Now I think we're down to about 22. But you know, there's a lot of people who, this is their heart and soul, and they do what they gotta do just for the opportunity to be here. My dad owned this property and his dad before him, and I don't have an inclination of wanting to leave it. So I think a lot of people are adjusting their lives to try to figure out how to live and stay where they feel led to be. And I think for so many in Eastern Kentucky, they're coal miners, and they're good at it, and they're really good at it. And they've grown up in that environment. But I think the way they became coal miners was the simple fact that they could stay here and make a living. But we've always learned how to take what we've got and make do it and work with it and arrange it and work with it till we can make it happen. I'm named for my grandfather, who I never got to meet. He died the year before I was born. But he was a true entrepreneurial person. He had a great entrepreneurial spirit. And over the years, he logged and had coal mines and a grocery store. Went to central Indiana and raised cattle toward the end of his life, which is something he loved. And he had taken some of the little creek bottoms around our community and put drainage in them and got them to where they would produce produce and that kind of stuff. And actually, our people knew him for what he had done. He took what people thought was swamp land and did some very simple little things to it to make it very productive farmland. So the entrepreneurial spirit, some people around here call it jack of all trades. I sort of have done that in my life. And I had a little short musical career. I've always owned businesses. And then the most important thing, the pastoral work that I've done for the last 16 years, that's the most important thing. And I hope to contribute to our farmers market and reestablishing our people being productive from their own land. I'd like to be a part of that. But I guess I'll be remembered for doing a little bit of everything over the years. Currently, my interest is really tweaked with farmers market and providing locally grown products for our local area and that kind of thing. And my hobbies have always been something that I'm oriented to. I played music for a number of years, and I woke up every morning with a guitar in my hand and went to bed every night with a guitar in my hand. I drove my wife crazy, and I have an obsessive personality. So when I'm into it, I'm into it.
A friend of mine told me I couldn't do anything a little bit, so I've always had a tendency to raise above what I needed, and years ago I sold to a local restaurant, and Lord Brown at Dryport Market, and that kind of thing. Years ago, I mean, you know, when the farmer's market started, that was a whole new avenue. And it's awesome for our local farmers, and it really has intensified the understanding of the value of growing crops in our little area. I think a lot of people had the exposure to the idea of growing for family use and that sort of thing. But it showed us there is a commercial value. The way they have managed the farmer's market, they've been a tremendous incentive to local farmers to try and grow and develop that as a commercial crop. Yeah, it becomes a family environment, and I really have enjoyed being part of that family. Well, I grow a big tea crop. Then we'll do some cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower, cold crops, early spring crops. I did a lot of cherry tomatoes last year. I will do some tomatoes and cherry tomatoes this year. And we'll do some beans and potatoes and, you know, the general average kind of. And not one huge of anything, except the peas is pretty huge. And a little larger than average, but nothing, you know, not acres of any one particular crop. Just a variety of crops. I've got chickens. Well, I've had, everybody around here calls them bombers. They're Plymouth Barbed Rocks. Mm-hmm. They're an old gray chicken. Has a historic, they were at Plymouth. They came over on the Mayflower, all that. Great brown egg-laying chicken. But I have some new ones right now, and they're a cross. They're called ISA Browns. Mm-hmm. And they're a cross between a Rhode Island Red and a Rhode Island White. You get about 50 more eggs a year out of those. And I'm selling to a handful of folks in different arenas, a lot of restaurants, mainly in that you can. And I'm selling a little bit of stuff in Pike County, too. And we sell tomatoes and green leafy vegetables and broccoli and cauliflower and general gamut of produce that you use in salads and they prepare potatoes and all that. One of the things I've been very impressed about is that it wasn't just older folks who were doing this, but there's a lot of young folks that are growing and getting involved in growing. And I was very impressed to see that and thankful to see that. The farmer's market was the incentive to draw those folks in. So without the farmer's market, that incentive wouldn't be there and those folks wouldn't be drawn in and understand the value there. And you know what? When you go outside this area, Ranger County, Tennessee, where they raise all the tomatoes that are so popular with people, and they got all the low tunnels and high tunnels and that kind of stuff. And so there's a whole level of farming that extends our season that we can learn about and are learning about. And most of that learning and experiencing about that is through the farmer's market and some of the opportunities that they have provided for farmers to extend earlier and later in the year to extend their farming season. I've been around growing vegetables all my life, but the farmer's market has caused us to look at it differently and to think of it in terms of producing for the market and that kind of thing. And they provide for us workshops and training, and we get certified in different areas, you know, and good growing practices and all kinds of things. And now I'm pretty soon going to do the canning room down here in the old high school. And so people can can their corn and beans and whatever it is that they want to can, produce a product for market, but also it extends their season in that way too. They can can, grow, and sell it all winter long. And so the farmer's market and the Grow Appalachia and the things that have been going on around that has incentivized folks to invest time and effort into all these things. And so I think that here in Western County, they're telling us that we're becoming a model for a lot of people in the local farmer's market. And it's a really awesome little farmer's market. And that incentive is coming from the Grow Appalachia farmer's market folks. First of all, I became aware of the volume that people would like to have. You know, people really do want to have really good quality vegetables. Of course, the farmer's market and Mountain Comp and those folks are trying to promote the idea that for us in eastern Kentucky, if we would eat more fresh vegetables, it'd be good for the health issues that we face here in this area, abnormally. levels of diabetes and cancer and so forth. And so people need a source for all that kind of stuff. And obviously, our own growing season is so limited. That was kind of the trigger that said, hey, we can manage to provide that year-round here. So I think it's tremendously important to help our people. And you know what? You can tell them. So you got to educate people, help them come to the understanding of. And you can tell folks all day long about it, but if you get them to experience it. And I saw around the farmer's market people come and say, actually, more than one have told me, said, this is the best I've eaten in years. And so they're learning by experiencing. I don't know if we can express how good that is. The meetings and the training classes and sharing ideas and, oh, this one is doing this and this one is doing that and kind of mingling all of those ideas and encouraging each other and that sort of thing. Yes, sir, it's a special kind of family kind of oriented thing that's happening there. Daddy, I just say I'm having a great time doing it and I'm thankful to be a part of it and really thankful to all the young people that's involved in it and glad to be a little part of it.
WMMT would like to thank Malcolm and Jennifer Wilson of Humans of Central Appalachia for sharing their audio. And be sure to visit Doc Frazier at Farmhouse General Store in Ermine. As Doc Frazier said, fresh, affordable, local food is a win-win for the entrepreneur and the community. Looking back on the history of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, there's no doubt that even before written record, the land fostered a deep connection to a pioneering spirit. Whether it be the hunts of the indigenous peoples blazing paths through dense forest to provide food for the tribe, or the many immigrants of numerous nationalities who chose to make the mountains home by forging their own ways of living or mining coal for America's Industrial Revolution, there's no doubt that we are a people of purpose that directly connects us to place. April 17th, Dr. Stephanie May Lang, the associate editor of the Register of the Kentucky Historical Society and a Floyd County native, stopped at Big Sandy Community and Technical College as part of the Kentucky Historical Society's listening tour commemorating Kentucky's 225 years as a Commonwealth. Dr. Lang led a conversation that celebrated Kentucky's past and what makes it great, while also looking at ways to confront the challenges of our future. Our next story is that conversation between Dr. Lang and the Big Sandy community in Prestonsburg.
History is personal, and it is something that all of us take very, very seriously. Our jobs at the Historical Society allow us to be able to not only educate, but also engage with local communities. Not only to use history as a lens to talk about some of these past things, but also as a way to confront maybe challenges that we face today and then that we're facing in the future. One of the fun things that we are doing and why we have hit the road for a 225 listening tour is indeed Kentucky's 225th birthday. So we are using this as a way to be able to get out and speak to communities all across Kentucky. The history of Kentucky is a wonderfully dynamic and diverse blend of local heritage, trailblazing individuals, and pioneering innovations. These are things that have influenced not only things on local and state level, but also national conversations. So, fun facts, in case you didn't already know that Kentucky is a wonderful, wonderful state. One of the most common and one of the most popular songs in the English language, Happy Birthday, was actually invented, if you will, copyrighted in 1893 by two sisters in Louisville, Mildred and Patty Hill. And they do have a historic marker that you can go and visit. So, usually if you are gathered around and you're singing Happy Birthday, what are you usually enjoying?
Birthday cake.
Birthday cake, exactly. Mr. Duncan Hines, now it is up to personal preference, even though I believe chocolate is way the best flavor. Duncan Hines was actually from Bowling Green, and we do have a wonderful historic marker that talks about his life and his impact on the state and also tourism. With these markers, the Historical Society administers these markers, and we have them throughout the state, including many, many here in Eastern Kentucky. We have an app that you can download. It is a free mobile app called Explore KY History. And, you know, it is another great way for us to be able to celebrate the local history in communities across the state. And especially as the weather is getting better, you know, we have different kinds of tours. If you were interested in Civil War history, if you're interested in, hey, let's pull up and see what Floyd County has, for instance. You know, it's a great way for you to be able to get out and explore different parts. We have a wonderful website. It is KY225. This website will be a year-long celebration of this birthday. They are inviting places from Paducah to Pikeville to be thinking about different kinds of events. So, for instance, locally, coming up in the fall, we have Apple Days and Jenny Wiley Festival here in Prestonsburg. If you want to add and incorporate these festivals into this website, you definitely have the ability to do that. And this is to showcase all of the diversity and all of the wonderful local heritage and festivals that will be going on. They also have a virtual toolkit. If you are interested in incorporating some of the 225 branding within your particular festival or program. And also, there's a nice way, as you're looking at these different places from across the state, create a bucket list. You know, is there a certain festival or is there a park that you've wanted to visit? This is another fun thing to do with friends and family, to be able to check off. You know, I've always wanted to go to Mammoth Cave, or I've always wanted to go to London to the World Chicken Festival. Things like that. Thinking about, you know, things on a state level, a local level, what have you. Say you're out traveling somewhere, and somebody says, oh, I'd like to visit Kentucky. What do you recommend? Or why do you like living in the state? What do you all think makes Kentucky, Kentucky?
Southern hospitality.
Southern hospitality.
We always say the mountains, which is here, we're actually in the hills, not really the mountains.
Well, the mountains. What are things that you all are super proud of?
Family. Horses.
I think there's a sense here of attachment to the land.
Okay, absolutely.
That you rarely see anywhere else.
Bourbon. Absolutely.
Just their historic sites. We are just so loaded with historic sites.
Our state parks.
State parks.
For a place that I go in Lincoln.
You have hidden treasures throughout Kentucky that are not well known, like Himmlerville over in Martin County.
Basketball.
And I'm going to write basketball because I just about got in trouble for putting UK one of the last times. Because there's apparently another team.
Well, I think you kind of touched on the mountains, but the diversity of the landscape. So you can be here, and then an hour and a half away, you're in the bluegrass, and then another 2 hours away, you're over for the stuff, Dog Lake. So diversity of the landscape.
How the role that our coal has played in building this country.
People come here to see our battlefield, of course, their main house. So a lot of people don't realize that Prestonsburg is a tourism destination.
The state's highest peaks, Pine Mountain and Black Mountain.
We have a couple fantastic national parks. Mammoth Cave you mentioned earlier, but we often forget Cumberland Gap, which is a great park. Fishing and hunting.
Fishing and hunting. KFC.
We have good food.
Kentucky probably has the best ghost stories in the country.
We mentioned bourbon and wine, but we didn't mention moonshine.
Moonshine.
We can't leave that out.
No. Part of what we want to do for this tour is to not only talk about some of the things that we are very much excited about, things that we're very, very proud about, we also want to talk about concerns and challenges and conflicts that the state faces, that you feel that maybe perhaps you face on a local community level. And, you know, we're looking for honest answers. So if you have to think about sort of the flip side of that coin, what are some things that you are concerned about?
Pervasive stereotypes.
Okay.
Gainful employment.
So employment opportunities, absolutely. What else?
Which leads to our students. I hear so many times in the classroom, I'm going to leave Kentucky, or at least Eastern Kentucky, as soon as I can. How do we get them to stay and like invest in the future?
In this region, the lack of mental and addiction services, education with the lack of coal severance taxes.
Kentucky ranks among the top three in drug addiction, along with West Virginia and Ohio.
Overall access to good and proper health care. I mean, there are a lot of people here that have to leave the area for certain kinds of medical services.
One thing I think we're losing, especially in this area, is our history of our local areas. A lot of the kids don't know their local history, and so many kids don't even know their genealogy.
Lack of cooperation among communities. Communities tend to work in silos.
On a very large scale in this area, we have grandparents and even great-grandparents raising their grandchildren.
What are some things that you can do as a community if you are involved in certain kinds of organizations or even as an individual? What are some things that you can do to celebrate some of the positives that we've talked about or, you know, help combat some of these issues that people have voiced?
I would acquire projects at times, something on the main house, or often the students get a chance to go back and interview a grandparent and find out what life was like in their time.
Well, many people are active in their church groups, doing things like raising food for the hungry.
Community gardens, educating folks on gardening, and that kind of leads into more of a wellness focus too.
Local farmers markets have been growing across the state.
Well, one of the most basic things that's often overlooked is to vote, and vote intelligently.
Extension is working on beekeeping,
okay,
which is a very important issue here.
We can attend and participate in presentations. Our libraries often have programs going on with local, state, and national history.
I think a different way to engage, especially younger groups, much as I hate to say it, they're all the phones and social media versus traditional forms of communication.
Shopping local.
Shopping local. And there are some wonderful places here in town.
Getting involved at the local schools, volunteering, even if you're not a parent, when they have career days, letting the kids know what is possible if they stay.
It is important for us to get out and engage with our communities. It's also interesting to see from a local level things that people are proud of and also concerned about. We've developed a database, so I will be adding all of this in. And it also gives us at KHS a way to think about things that are on local communities' minds as a way to maybe develop and think about some of our own programming. But also as we go out and we talk to other state organizations, people in Frankfort or, you know, around the state or nation, it gives us an opportunity to say, you know, these are some of the positives and these are also some of the things that maybe we need to be thinking about. And we do have a special event that will be throughout the year, and then we have a new exhibit that will be opening that does a wonderful job in talking about some of the wonderful pioneers and innovators, different trailblazers in Kentucky history. Some of them perhaps very well known, some of them maybe not so much. We definitely invite you to come and check that out. How will you connect with Kentucky this year? That's the question that I want to leave you all with. Feel free to contact us, come see us, and let us know what we can do.
So, how are you already connecting with Kentucky, or the place you call home? What do you find there that gives you a sense of purpose? That concludes this edition of Mountain News and World Report. I've been your host, Kelly Haywood. WMMT gives a very special thanks to the Humans of Central Appalachia Project. Find more stories of individuals throughout the region at www.humansofcentralappalachia.org. Music in this episode can be found on the June Apple label. Listen to this episode again at www.wmmt.org or download it as a podcast. For more inspiring stories of entrepreneurs and other innovators throughout the region, visit Making Connections News at www.makingconnectionsnews.com. From all of us here at WMMT, a mighty big thanks for listening.
Flows right along there. And that's where I throw my dreams and watch them float down.
This has been Mountain News and World Report, a production of WMMT-FM, Mountain Community Public Radio, the non-commercial broadcast service of the world-famous Apple Shop in Whitesburg, Kentucky.